Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
They're gonna kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome to the RotoWire Basketball Podcast, presented, as always, by DraftKings.com. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports. As always, you can use the promo code ROTOHOOPS, that's R-O-T-O-H-O-O-P-S, when you deposit on DraftKings. It'll give you a free contest entry today. All right, it is Thursday, March 31st. Nick Whalen joined, as I always am on Thursdays, by RotoWire's James Anderson. NCAA Tournament this weekend, finally wrapping up with the final four games on Saturday, and then, of course, the championship games on Monday. No NBA games on Monday. As far as I can remember, that has not always been the case, or has it?
I feel like in recent years that's been the case, but I don't know how far back it goes.
So we got OU and Villanova Saturday night, followed by UNC Syracuse. Who's winning that first Oklahoma-Villanova game?
So I'm really torn about this Final Four because, like, the only person I know that is, like, a legit fan of any of these teams is our buddy Andrew Laird, and he's a Nova grad. So kind of in that sense, I want Villanova to win. I also have a buddy who has a 50-1 ticket on Syracuse that he made on a whim before the tournament, and he could win quite a lot of money if that hits. So on that hand, I kind of want Syracuse to win, but I think Oklahoma cuts down the nets. I think they beat Villanova and win the whole thing. Just really like the way they're playing right now. I mean, it's kind of to the point where if Buddy is feeling it, they're not going to lose.
If they play their best, I think they're the best team in the tournament. I also think they have a little bit of a lower floor than
they
teams
do.
Like UNC. I think UNC and Villanova have a bit of a higher floor. Their ceiling's not quite as high.
And so it's kind of me saying that sort of a bet on Buddy showing up in these last two games. You're right. Like if he's off, you know, from behind the line and the Nova defense does a good job on their supporting players, then they could lose by 10 or 15 points.
I think if Oklahoma beats Villanova, I think they win it all. I'm with you there because I don't think you're giving either UNC or Syracuse basically one day to prep. Mm-hmm. To face Buddy Hield and this team. What concerns me is that Villanova's had almost a full week.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, Lon Kruger's a pretty good coach, too. I mean, the Sooners have had a full week for prepping.
That's
for
true.
Nova. You know, that game they played against Miami is kind of one of the historically great offensive games in tournament history, but that really has no bearing on what they're going to do going forward here. I mean, that was just a once-in-a-lifetime shooting performance from everyone on the team. I mean, they could easily regress well below their average in the next game. So they don't really have, you know, they're kind of a sum-of-the-parts team, whereas Oklahoma's got the star potential. So it's kind of a juxtaposition of styles. Two good coaches, though, two really solid teams. So that's going to be the better game of the two, I would imagine.
Does it bother you at all that Syracuse is kind of the underdog in this Final Four, that we have a 10 seed in, but it doesn't really have the Cinderella feel that you usually get with a team seeded this low?
It does bother me because, like, I don't like Syracuse. I don't like Jim Boeheim. Like, I don't want like, I don't usually, if it's like a 10 seed and they're in the Final Four, like, everyone's rooting for them, you know.
I feel like no one's rooting for Syracuse.
I am kind of upset that they're there, you know. I mean, they're those, you know, they have those rules violations, like Boeheim misses the first 15 games or whatever, and you know, at no point really shows any kind of he's never really displayed any sort of, like, I regret doing this, like,
remorse.
Yeah, no remorse. That was the word I was looking for. He's just always kind of smug about it. And, you know, I find their zone defense to be very painful to watch at the college level. They, because of that defense, they typically don't recruit players for that system that are fun to watch on the offensive side. So I just really have nothing good to say about this, that Syracuse team aesthetically. And I don't really like the way North Carolina plays defense either, but they at least have some players that are entertaining to watch on the offensive side.
So what matchup do you want to see then? Oklahoma, North Carolina?
I want to see Oklahoma, North Carolina, yeah.
I think most people do, right? I think people want to see Buddy Hield. Like, if you're a casual college basketball fan, Villanova is a nice team to watch, but you don't, I mean, how many people could name anyone on Villanova if you're not following the sport pretty closely?
Right. And I mean, I think most people are like, their brackets are done, you know, that whole thing's over. So they're looking for good games.
Right.
And Oklahoma, North Carolina has the potential to be a great championship game. Would be very surprised if that game ended up being not fun to watch. Whereas, you know, Villanova, Syracuse could easily be kind of a Butler-UConn type of game where you just really are bored out of your mind, right, 10 minutes into the game. So I, you know, nothing against the players on those teams. To me, I want to see the best game.
So the worst case scenario is Villanova, Syracuse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Syracuse probably loses that by like 15.
I would even say, like, I think their defense would make it just kind of like a really, really boring game awful. That they lose by like 6 or 7 points.
So Villanova's 2-point favorites over Oklahoma. North Carolina, 9.5-point favorites over Syracuse. Do those both seem about right to you?
Yeah. I mean, I get what Vegas is doing with the Nova line because of how well they've played in the tournament. I mean, they've been, I think you could make a pretty strong case that Villanova and Kansas were playing as the two best teams in the tournament.
I agree.
So Villanova, so to this point, has been the best team left in the tournament. But, you know, I would probably take the points there just because it's, you know, it's 2-2 seeds. Oklahoma's got the best player. I think the coaching situation is very similar. Oklahoma showed earlier this year that they were the number one team in all of college basketball when they were kind of functioning at their highest level. So I'd take the points there.
All right, so we'll get to D'Angelo Russell in a little bit. We were considering just doing an entire pod or maybe a week-long series about D'Angelo Russell, but we'll stick with the college or at least the amateur basketball for now. McDonald's All-American game was last night. I know we both caught.
don't be confused. We're not about to break down anyone's game.
In the McDonald's? Well, speak for yourself. No, I'm kidding. I watched a little bit of this. You and I both keep an eye on prospects. It's very NBA All-Star game-esque. I mean, if you're watching the McDonald's game to get a read on any of these guys, you know, other than who's the best athlete, you're not really going to get much else.
You can tell, like, what they look like physically. Right.
Yeah, and Malik Monk was one guy who stood out and reminded me a ton of myself. And we were playing pickup last night, and I mean, I think one or two. I think you were probably somebody who looked at me and you're like, you know that Malik Monk guy, that like 48-inch vertical. Yeah, he looks a lot like you. But did any players really stand out to you? Again, not a great evaluation setting.
I honestly didn't see it, so you're gonna have to be the one breaking it down for me.
You were tweeting me about it.
Watching it. Okay, so yeah. I did tweet you about the commentary. That might have been a little misleading. I could see how that would be. I cut the cord, like, so I watch all my sports like through like Sling, which is kind of one of those
Mr. Technology man.
Yeah. So, and like, for whatever reason, my internet was kind of crap in the bed last night. Thanks, AT&T. You really suck.
Shout
out to AT&T.
Sponsor the podcast.
But so I turned the game on and I can like hear the announcers, but my screen's kind of like frozen. So I hit eject on the whole experience. Mm-hmm. But I did get to hear that great line about how success only comes before work in the dictionary, which I thought was just incredibly like blowhardy, and I needed to share that.
I love it. I think that's one of those things that, you know, like I said, if we could get a poster of that in the office just to kind of keep us all on the straight and narrow.
There's a lot of other words that come before work though, so.
Right. I mean, like, but he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
In the dictionary.
Excellence comes before work.
That's true. I didn't think of it like that. Yeah, I mean,
if you want to poke
it's almost
holes,
like,
if you want to poke holes in his theory there, I mean, there's ways to do it.
Yeah, it's almost like speaking exclusively in cliches doesn't
right.
always work.
Right.
So Kentucky had a number of players in this game. I'm trying to pull up the actual class rankings, but they're going to finish with the number one class, it sounds like, regardless of where the number one player, at least by Scout.com's rankings, Josh Jackson, is yet to sign. The Cats are in contention. Michigan State seems to be maybe the slight leader there, but we should get a decision on him pretty quickly, I would think. My question to you is this Kentucky team good, or this incoming Kentucky class, I should say, are they good enough to be one of those classes that can immediately, you know, kind of team with whoever's left, whether it's Isaiah Briscoe or even Scal or some of those guys, to be a legitimate title contender right away? And for the record, Kentucky has number four recruit De'Aaron Fox,
right.
Number six Malik Monk, number 10 Wenyen Gabriel, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, number 15, oh boy, Idris Adebayo, and then one more later down. They're still in contention for a couple more.
So Kentucky's really always going to be a national title contender to me, as long as they're bringing in solid classes like this. It's hard to say any team's going to be as good as that team that almost went undefeated 2 years ago and lost. But, I mean, I look at, you know, Duke's got a couple studs coming in, or like three top 11 guys according to ESPN, and Michigan State's got a few top 20 guys, and, you know, Arizona obviously in the mix there with some guys up top.
Obviously.
There's enough talent going around where I think you could definitely say Kentucky. Like, if you told me right now to pick like next year's Final Four, I'd probably put Kentucky in it, but I'd probably do that every year, just kind of siding with the talent and sort of seeing what happens. But I don't know if I would say they're the clear favorite to win it all.
Right. I mean, we've seen in the past, you know, some of these years where they bring in freshmen and they kind of underperform. I mean, with Nerlens Noel, class of 2012, you know, that was a team that started up near the top of the rankings, ended up losing in round one of the NIT. And that was the class that featured Archie Goodwin, you know, a top 15 guy, Nerlens Noel, the number one recruit at the time, Alex Poitras, who ended up going down with an injury. So there are some other factors at play. But I think many people believe this is probably Kentucky's best overall class and probably their deepest class, at least since that first Calipari class, which included Wall, Cousins, and Bledsoe.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. We'll kind of see what happens, though. I mean, like,
right.
Scal was no doubt top two recruit last year. And
yeah. If he gives them, like, anything this year, they're probably a one or a two seed in the tournament, right?
If he just gives them, like, 12 points in that Indiana game, they win that game. So
if he plays his B-minus game for the entire season.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I would pick them to go to the Final Four. I want to see how the pieces fit, though, first,
sure.
Before I'd say that they're the clear-cut favorite to win it all.
North Carolina kind of following in their typical recruiting footsteps, I guess. They're no five-star recruits this season, but they're bringing in four stars. Pretty typical of USC. You know, instead of bringing in those one-and-done guys, they have kind of tier two or tier three recruits who maybe by the time they're juniors or seniors are as good or probably better than a lot of these big-time freshmen coming in. Do you think this is kind of the way to do it? Because North Carolina, assuming they lose their core after this Final Four run, you know, there might be a year or two there where they're a little bit down, and we've kind of seen this in the past after they won it in 05.
Well, they're going to have sanctions coming, too.
Well, there's that. I mean, that's a whole different ball game. And Roy Williams, you know, there's been some reports about his health. I mean, you got to wonder just age-wise, he's getting up there.
He could definitely retire if they win all this year.
That's very possible. But I mean, just looking at it broadly, you know, the sanctions are a whole nother thing. But assuming that that's not a factor right now, do you like this approach of, you know, I think Michigan State for a while kind of followed this too, although they've been a little bit more, you know, high end consistent, where North Carolina, they don't punt these certain years, but they know, you know, all right, this isn't our year. Next year is probably not our year, but next year, you know, once this class matures, then we'll make our run.
I think that, you know, if you tell me I can do what Duke and Kentucky do, or I can do what Michigan State and North Carolina do, I'm going to do what Duke and Kentucky sure. do, because, you know, I think you have to, as a coach, you should be able to trust yourself to get the most talent you possibly can on your roster and try to win with it. But perhaps North Carolina goes this route because they don't want to do, they don't, or they can't do what Duke and Kentucky do in terms of getting this
they
many.
They should be able to,
guys.
Though. You know, it's like, I don't know, I'm not on the in and in on, you know, UNC's recruiting tactics, but it doesn't seem like they're really going hard for these top five guys every year. You know, they're content to grab the Justin Jacksons, the Theo Pinsons.
I mean, perhaps they think that there's a pretty good chance, like, I mean, if you're Kentucky or you're Duke and you're pitching a five-star recruit, and then you're North Carolina pitching that same five-star recruit, I feel like maybe 80 or 90% of the time that guy's not choosing North Carolina. So you got to pool your resources and make sure that you're actually bringing in like enough top 50, top 75 sure. recruits, and not just going big for all these guys who you may end up not getting any of them, and then you're kind of left trying to fill in the scraps. I mean, like, Duke can point to, you know, Coach K has his, you know, whole dream team connection, and, you know, can have, you know, a guy like LeBron James call any of these guys, or, you know, Cal can boast, you know, setting records for most guys going in the first round 1 year, you know, almost going undefeated. Look at Karl-Anthony Towns, look at Anthony Davis, look at DeMarcus Cousins, look at John Wall. Like, these are all guys that have come through my program. You know, Coach K is going to be able to point to Brandon Ingram as a guy who came into the year without really anyone thinking that he could go number one and might end up going number one. I mean, North Carolina doesn't have any kind of, you know, recent big-time success stories like that they can point to on the recruiting trail. Plus, you have the sanctions aspect. That wasn't an aspect of their recruiting pitches, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but that has to kind of be part of it now, where if you're like one of these recruits and you're going to be one and done, do you want to go to a school where at any moment they could be banned from next year's postseason? I mean, it seems like North Carolina is kind of being smart and strategic about putting their resources into getting as many of these kind of like four-star guys right. in as possible, and Duke and Kentucky just keep doing what they're doing.
Just, I think the recent success thing is big. You know, there aren't a lot of recent NBA players, you know, great NBA players coming out of North Carolina. And
no.
I think that kind of used to be the case with Duke for a while. That was a criticism.
Right.
Duke
and North Carolina have kind of switched spots
Respect. Exactly. In a lot of ways. I mean, you look, since 2010, that was the year Harrison Barnes was number one overall recruit. He went to Carolina. Since then, they've only had two top 10 recruits, Justin Jackson and then the other one.
McAdoo.
Just escaped. McAdoo. Right, exactly. McAdoo is number five in his class. Jackson was number 10, so right on the border. I mean, and there's certainly, you know, top ten in the country is tough. There's a lot of schools that can gather that kind of interest now. But to me, North Carolina is on the same plane as Kentucky and Duke, and the recruiting just hasn't been.
I think, you know, obviously, I think a lot of it has to do with the coach. You know, Roy Williams, to me, just like as an outsider, doesn't strike me as a guy that could hang with Calipari and Coach K recruiting. Like, I just don't see.
I don't know, though. I mean, it has to be. He's got two titles. The facilities are unbelievable. The resources are unbelievable. You got the Jordan brand and all that.
I just think that if you sit in on those three pitches or whatever, and it's sort of silly for us to sort of speculate as to all this stuff.
I will say I was not recruited by any of these schools coming out of high school.
And you just have no idea how much, like, money's changing hands
sure.
and stuff like that. But, I mean, I just think you're gonna lose out more often than not if you try to hang with Duke or Kentucky. I think you'd be smart to like pinpoint, you know, a top 10 guy here and there that you have like a specific in with that you think gives you an advantage. I think Michigan State is really good at doing that. They're really good at bringing in guys from Michigan, sort of regardless of how good they are. They're usually pretty good at landing guys like that. You know, obviously, you know, teams like Arizona and UCLA sometimes are going to have an edge over Kentucky or Duke on some of the West Coast guys, and they're usually good at, at doing stuff like that. But I mean, North Carolina, I mean, they're what they're doing kind of has worked for them so far. I mean, they were the number one team in the country coming into the year. They're in the Final Four, and you know, they're a team who at least can tell their fans like, hey, every 5 or 6 years we're gonna have a really, really legit chance to cut the nets down.
Right. Yeah, and like you said, I think given the two choices, you obviously want to be Duke or Kentucky, where it, every year it's a legitimate possibility. The thing with North Carolina is like when you go all in on 1 year, and to their credit, it's worked. I mean, they've kind of been on that national title rotation, and this might be the next one this year.
They also haven't gotten bit by, you know, like you've seen teams like, you know, like Arizona with like Nick Johnson, right, or, you know, Wisconsin, Sam Decker. There's other examples too, where a guy like Tyus Jones with Duke last year, where you aren't expecting that player to be one and done or to be two and done, and they're part of your big plan to put this great team together, and then all of a sudden like they outperform what you think they're going to do, and then they're gone. Like North Carolina hasn't had anybody like that. I mean, JP Tokoto, but that's not like a backbreaker really for a program. So I mean,
but I mean, he certainly would be a nice addition to this team. It's kind of crazy to think. And Brandon Ingram, everyone expected him to go to UNC until right before signing day. I mean, you can imagine what that team would be like with him, and what I guess Duke would be without him.
I think
him.
He made the right call though, because
probably
you think about the touches in either spot.
Well, I mean, he's playing in a front court with, you know, Hicks, Meeks, Johnson. I mean, does he? I don't even know.
He's just kind of a guy. Like he's a guy that where you're like, oh, this guy's super talented, but you don't really know what he's capable of because he's probably taken like 8 or 9 shots a game.
Yeah, and it was easier, I think, for Duke to let him have the role that he did. You know, give it. I wouldn't say Duke came into the season knowing they weren't going to win the title, but I think North Carolina would have been more hesitant to just hand the offense over to him at times, whereas Duke, you know, kind of given their expectations for this year, I think was able to do that. But, you know, the only downside, I guess, of the Carolina strategy is when you go all in for these 1 years, if you get knocked out early, all of a sudden you got to hit reset and you don't really have anything to show for it. All right, last high school topic, best name in the 2016 class. I spent some time this morning doing some extensive research, which consisted of sifting through a few pages of Scout.com's 2016 rankings. So I went through the first 10 pages. We're going to get a pretty good sample. That's basically about like 300 players that I looked through. Narrowed it down to 6 for you. Our finalists are De'Aaron Fox. That's De'Aaron Fox. He was playing in the McDonald's game. He's going to UK. 7th Woods. He's ranked somewhere in the mid-20s.
Spell it how it sounds.
Yep, exactly. Unique McLean. That's another
one. I'm hoping it's McLean. McLean doesn't seem like a last name. McLean, like John McLean, Die Hard. Like.
I guess. Is that a movie?
Is that a movie?
We'll go with McLean for this sake. He's going to UMass. My favorite, Papa Njai. Yeah, uncommitted. Still keeping his options open.
That is your favorite.
I think this is the office favorite when we pulled a couple guys. Leroy Butts, also uncommitted. Yep. And we got Raekwon Long. Yep. He's going to Florida International. Huge get for Golden Panther Nation.
Yeah. So to me it's Leroy Butts. Honorable mention, Raekwon Long, 7th Woods, and Unique McLean. Leroy could be a great name or a terrible name, depending on the individual who it's assigned to. But with, you know, a last name like Butts, you know, a basketball player.
It's tough to mess that one
really
up.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty great. I don't know much about his game. I'm hoping that he's kind of like, you know, an undersized 4 that just really crashes the glass. But, you know, who knows?
I think of the name Leroy, I think scrap, just scrappy.
I think Trevor Booker, you know, like all the way.
It looks like he was, these headlines are just ridiculous. He was committed to Rutgers, as I see an article here. Butts picks Rutgers.
I might have to go a different direction.
But nobody backed out. Okay. As we see our latest article, Butts backs off Rutgers pledge.
Yeah, he does.
There's an article here that is titled, Another Kevin Durant? Question mark. So he's a 3-star.
Another one?
Oh, you're right.
What's with all these Kevin Durants?
He's a 3-star recruit. Listed as a power forward, 6'6".
Bingo.
There we
nailed
go.
It. All right. Leroy Butts.
So it looks like
where's
now
he going? Deciding.
Well, his schools of interest are Cincinnati, DePaul, basically the entire, what is it now? The Big East, I guess. Cincinnati, DePaul, Georgetown, Rutgers, Tennessee, Virginia Tech, Buzz Williams.
That's a terrible list.
But it looks like the one that he's that Scout.com shows is leading the way right now is Rhode Island.
I would go to Rhode Island over those other programs as well.
All right, well, that's enough of that. I'm going with Papa Njai. You're going Leroy Butts.
Do we know where Raekwon Long's going? I want to know where Raekwon Long,
Florida International.
Mm.
Sorry, were you expecting better?
No, yeah, I was hoping for something.
With a name like that, I mean, being named Raekwon should automatically give you 4-star status.
Mm-hmm. He should have gone to, like, St. John's.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to go Diamond Stone or D'Angelo Russell first?
Let's see. What time do we got to cut this off for a quick break?
2:55. Well, I mean, it's a podcast, so the plan was to just blend it as if there wasn't a break. But I guess we got about 15 minutes.
All right, let's save D'Angelo for last. Let's do Diamond Stone. We'll work our way up the, we went high school, and then we'll go college, and we'll go pro.
Debauchery ladder. Okay.
Well, yeah.
So Diamond Stone.
I think I like this one more than the D'Angelo one.
This is just like, Diamond is lucky that this happened this week.
It's one of my favorites.
Because anything that ever happens, like even the Kyrie stuff, that was a big deal for like a day. Doesn't matter anymore. D'Angelo overshadowed it. Diamond Stone hooking up with what's clearly basically a girl who makes her fame, I guess, off of sleeping with athletes.
Guys.
she's a girl who apparently goes to the University of Maryland, or at least lives on campus, who goes by the name Queen of Nudes.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, so she has a Snapchat account and is very public about said account and apparently had Diamond Stone over for a night of consensual sex. Well, I don't know if it was a night.
It could have been an afternoon.
Probably was an afternoon. And then openly criticized him on the Snapchat account.
Right.
For what he
did or did not get accomplished in that that.
So there's a photo of a pretty sullen-looking Diamond Stone kind of walking out of her apartment, and her clearly labeling it, saying, "I mean, it's him. He's wearing Maryland basketball gear, and he's 6'11". Yeah. So my question, first of all, does this actually mean anything for his status, like draft stock?
Draft stock?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, it'd be funnier to say it does, but he was already kind of a guy sort of trending down to me just based on guys that had kind of moved up. I think it's just really funny. And if I was like one of his teammates, I'd give him a ton of crap for this.
I'm sure they have.
You just gotta be smarter. I mean, like if you're like a major college basketball player and you are just looking for some random sex, like you should be able to have said sex with someone who's not gonna embarrass you for the whole
someone
internet
who's not
see.
Clearly doing this for like someone of a living,
right? Yeah, like someone who's not like hoping and planning to Snapchat the before
like, I highly
and after.
Doubt this is the first time that it's happened, like he had to know what he was getting himself into,
right?
So we're more disappointed in him that he had to resort to this,
right? Yeah, it's kind of just a bad look, it's I mean, I'm sure there are other guys that are going to go in the first round who have similarly weak sex games, but it's not common knowledge. The whole world doesn't know about it. So, it's too bad. Too bad for Diamond, but I kind of think it's sort of interesting as to where he goes in the draft, just because he just seems like a player who a lot of smart teams might shy away from. And a lot of those smart teams are picking in that area of the draft where you would think that Diamond Stone's going to go.
Why do you think smart teams shy away?
I just don't think he's a big who doesn't bring anything defensively other than like rebounding. So how many like 7-footers who aren't good defenders can't shoot threes, can't shoot free throws. Like, how many of those guys are in the league that are good players?
Do you want, like, an actual number? Because it's going to be pretty low. I don't know.
I mean, can you think of any 7-footer who's not an above-average defender and can only score within, like, 5 or 6 feet that's a good NBA player?
I mean, you're looking at, like, your Al Jeffersons, Stone's a better defender. I think
he's a better defender than Al Jefferson.
Teams can see him and see the way that you could develop him into a good defender.
Right. He's a better defender than Al Jefferson, but Al Jefferson's like, you know, peak Al Jefferson was one of the best post scorers in the league. You know, so that's an interesting comp, but
I don't think they're similar. That was just kind of I think Stone to me projects as like a. I don't think he's
like a 20 minute a game.
He's like an Ed Davis in Nick for that type of role. You know, he can be if you're a pretty decent team like the Blazers, he can be your first guy off the bench. You know, maybe he's more of an Amir Johnson.
Amir Johnson, that's a slap in the face to Amir Johnson. I think Amir's better than that. Amir's a pretty good skilled player.
Stone was a pretty good college player. Do we even
know
he's
coming
out?
He was an athletic seven footer in the Big Ten. Like, I mean, he wasn't. It's not like every single night he was putting up double doubles. I mean, he had some really good games in the Big Ten as an athletic seven footer. Like, I would.
So where's like an ideal spot for him to land? Like, what about Dallas at like 15, 16, wherever they're at?
Oh, Rick Carlisle would hate him. I think
Washington.
The Clippers would be interesting.
Well, they had Cole Aldridge.
That's right. He'd be blocked. You know, Draft Express has him going to the Hornets.
Sure.
I could see Boston just rolling the dice if you know, say they're picking 22 where they're projected to pick right now and all the guys that they really like are gone, which is entirely possible, then maybe they just say this guy's got enough upside where we're going to roll the dice, even though we don't even really like him that much. You know, he's got a ton of upside. So, I mean, I think he'll go kind of in the 20s somewhere to a team that just really doesn't like what's left on the board and is just going to roll the dice on a guy with his size and athleticism. But I just don't really see him amounting to much in the NBA.
Be part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, the official DFS partner of RotoWire. With daily fantasy, you don't need to spend months micromanaging a roster. You can play whenever you want. You can pick a new team every time you play. You can challenge your friends in a custom league to prove that you are the superior GM. You can also square off against basketball fans from around the country for big prizes. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code ROTOHOOPS to play free. DraftKings, the official partner of RotoWire. Again, that promo code is ROTOHOOPS. It could be used at DraftKings.com. All right. Now, into the real meat and potatoes of the RotoWire basketball podcast. D'Angelo Russell, a guy that we both love, did something that I don't think we both love. As a player. I don't follow him on Snapchat. I don't know if I will have to change that. If I were him, I would just...
Do you follow any athletes on Snapchat? Is this too embarrassing for you to answer?
Quincy Miller.
Really?
He's the only one. He Snapchatted me once. It was pretty cool. This is like a couple years ago when he was actually like still somewhat relevant.
All right.
Yeah. I was like, hey, cool. What's up, man?
Nice.
And, because I think I was just with a friend. And he's like, no, you're not friends with Quincy Miller on Snapchat. I'm like, oh, yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
There is not a lot of like action going on here. And I snapped him like, hey, man, this is back in college days.
Sure.
Snap back right away. Sup, dude? It's like, and you know, for me at that point, this is a big deal getting a snap from Quincy Miller, Baylor starter.
That's an accurate description.
So he's the only one. I followed a couple of team accounts, but those those get pretty lengthy. You really got to like rapid tap the screen to get through those. But D'Angelo Russell, I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably know the story by now. Is this the most bizarre story to come out of the NBA this season?
It's been a really bizarre season with stuff like this. One of my favorites was the Kurt Rambis liking porn like on Twitter. That was good.
Those were all. There's been so many minor ones like that. Those were all 1 day stories. Right, like we're going on day three at this.
I wish the Kurt Rambis thing had lasted longer, but
he kind of got let off the hook, really.
Yeah. the D'Angelo Russell thing, I think, is probably because like it had the perfect kind of blend of characters, team. Like we were talking on the way back from basketball on Wednesday, like about how, you know, Tony Parker allegedly cheated on Brent Barry's wife, who he was in the process of divorcing, but that was the Spurs and it was Tony Parker and Brent Barry, and it's kind of like, you know, who really cares?
It's like if you could say, which NBA player would you like to be embroiled in a Snapchat cheating controversy? Like, number one pick, Nick Young. Yeah. Like, oh, here we go. We got our wish.
Right. And, yeah, because it's not a, you know, you got all the elements. You know, Nick Young already kind of a famous in non-sports junkie circles for his sort of just general persona. Dating someone who's famous in non-sports circles for her mediocre music, and the Lakers, who are probably one of the bigger, maybe the biggest franchise in the league in terms of just headlines and stuff like that. You have the added element of the Lakers just being a complete disaster this season, and this just kind of adding fuel to that fire. And then you have like the number two overall pick, who is just I for some reason people just love to kind of tear down guys like that, you know, like I think back to like Anthony Bennett, and like everyone was just in such a rush to like rip that kid to shreds, and it's like he didn't do anything. Like, the Cavs took him number one. He shouldn't have been.
He literally didn't do anything.
He shouldn't have been taken number one, but it's not his fault. Like,
I didn't draft myself.
Yeah, like D'Angelo Russell gets taken number two overall by the Lakers, who are having a terrible year, and then now, you know, people are just all over D'Angelo Russell, and I think some of that is definitely warranted. But you and I are both in agreement on this. I don't think it's even really debatable. Like, this was just a prank gone incredibly wrong. Like, this wasn't a guy trying to expose Nick Young for cheating on his fiance. He was trying to kind of do like some sort of like gotcha, like hidden camera stuff with him as just like a prank that he was probably going to show like teammates or something like that. And it just kind of really got out of hand in a hurry. I think that I told you this and you were kind of just appalled that I would even think of it. But I still think Byron Scott, probably if not the worst, then the second worst coach in the league. But I kind of want to take back a tiny bit of the heat that I was lumping on him earlier in the season, because he had like a quote where he was like, you know, sometimes this kid acts 19, sometimes he acts like he's 14. And like, this sort of kind of gives me kind of a glimpse into what Scott's talking about there, because to me, like, this is just a total like high school thing, right? Like, this is the type of thing that you would do, you know, as like a 16 or 17 year old, and you just think that this was like hilarious. And then you'd look back like in 5 or 6 years and be like, what the heck was I doing like back then? And like, D'Angelo Russell's clearly, like, you know, maturity wise is at that level.
Right.
Like, he's not a man. Like, he's still like a kid.
I think it's tough for especially guys like Byron. I mean, he's quite a bit older now than current players, and even veteran players. You know, you've seen, you know, Marcus Morris talked about it. He said he's like, yeah, I'll probably never talk to him again, as if they were talking all the time.
Yeah, but
that'll be tough. Yeah. But I think it's very hard if you're like a player who's 25 or older to even grasp what happened. Like, to think like, so you're just hanging out and you were just filming him, you know? Like, I think to them, it's like, this kid is an idiot. Like, but I think, you know, for younger players, like, you know, people are doing that all the time. Instagram videos, Snapchat videos. So like, I mean, I certainly blame Russell. Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's crazy that people are defending. Nick Young is coming out of this about as well as he possibly could. Like, people are defending him.
His fiance, who he was exposed for cheating on, is defending him.
Right. Like, it's insane.
That's the thing, is like, you, and it's not, it's kind of a shame, because like, I really love Russell's game, but I think you make a good point about like the veteran thing, like, hard to, you know, he's going to have to really ball out.
There's no way to
get accepted
this.
By like future, like, veteran teammates. Like, he's going to have to earn their respect by what he does on the court, because they're not going to want to hang out with him off the court, you know? And
To be fair, I don't like the whole argument of like, I'm never talking to him again. He's too much of a risk. Like, he's not going to do this again.
No. Like, I think that, you know, if I'm a franchise, I still want to trade for D'Angelo Russell. Like,
course.
I mean, he's still a guy who, you know, I hope kind of mentally he's going to be strong enough to sort of handle, you know, what I mean, he's already been through a lot in the past couple of days, but you'd hope that this doesn't kind of set him back and get in his head. And, you know, he played 35 minutes in their game on Wednesday, so that's a good sign. I mean, he's been shooting below 40% this month, so that's not a good sign. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just really kind of too bad that it happened to him on this kind of a public level.
Right.
You know, it would have been nicer if it had just been sort of an internal thing.
Right. I mean, who knows how many times this has happened and it's not gotten out.
And you don't want to how many times he's videotaped.
Well, not him, but I mean, like on other teams, you know, other players. But I do agree with you that it doesn't help him that he's D'Angelo Russell, that mm-hmm. it's the Lakers, that it's Nick Young, that it's Iggy Azalea. You know, we wouldn't be talking about this right now if, I don't know, Nikola Jokic had revealed that Gary Harris was cheating on his fiance, you know?
Well, you and I might, but like ESPN right. wouldn't.
No.
And like that's the thing where I sort of feel bad for him is that like so many, like, you know, millions of people that didn't know who D'Angelo Russell was like a week ago now know him only as the guy that videotaped his teammate
right.
cheating on, like, and that's a shame.
This will blow over, mm-hmm. but it's already lasting a little bit longer than I thought it would. Like, the big news on Monday was the Kyrie Irving stuff, and nobody cares about that at mm-hmm. all anymore. Like, nobody's talking about it because of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's sad for D'Angelo.
It's too bad.
That's all we got. This is going to work out. We won't even have to take the break.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, we'll skip movie trivia today, although, as I did say, I did have someone when I was back home, my friend Brandon. I'll give him a shout-out. I don't nice. Know how often he actually listens to the pod, but nice. He said he loved the movie trivia.
Shout-out, Brandon.
Yeah, shout great out basketball player. you know, we had to take him down in the finals of the alumni tournament.
But sure.
We'll cover that on the Wrightstown Alumni Basketball Tournament podcast next week, but we'll be back next Thursday.
All right, cool.